Well, it's great to be here. Now, for those who don't know who I am, this is my mum and dad. Daniel's my brother. And I was in this church at the very beginning. I'm reminiscing a little bit here. I preached my first message in Living Waters Church. It wasn't here, it was in Woodlands Hall, which is down near the sea on the other side of Clevedon. And Dad gave me an opportunity. I had a youth group. And some of my members were, John was one of my members of my youth group, and others, James, and I used to preach a lot to my youth group, and I could preach a storm up for hours. I could preach a long time, but I never really preached to any adults. And then Dad gave me an opportunity to preach, and it was awful the first time, I'm telling you. It was just, I was really nervous, and it just didn't come out right, And about 2 weeks later, he gave me another opportunity. And at that point, I really got into my flow, and I was able to preach good. So I love Living Waters Church. Church is the best thing out. God's coming back for a glorious church. And I count it a privilege to be able to come here when I'm in this neck of the woods and come here and meet with everybody and say hi to everyone and honor the Lord in worship and honor the Lord with my finances. And God's honored us. I've always honored the Lord, and God's always honored us back. And the Bible says, if you honor the Lord, he'll honor you. And one of the ways we honor the Lord is by coming to church and meeting with his people, and praise God, it's good. And just about me a little bit. I'm just looking at the time, just get my bearings here right. For those who don't know my circumstances, I'm married to a beautiful Bulgarian woman. We live in Bulgaria, but I'm not earning enough money back in Bulgaria to be there full time. So I come backwards and forwards to do civil engineering contracts. At the moment, I'm doing one in Brackley. And we're doing a sewer line for about 4 kilometres, it's going to wind up in July, and then I'm going to go back to Bulgaria. And I run a church over in Bulgaria. And is this not good? Okay, so I give you this back, do I? Okay. Okay, is that better? Oh, I'm sorry about the funny noises. All right. So, I'm going back to Bulgaria. I'm going to sell coal, and I'm working with churches in Bulgaria. So that's a little bit about me. Now, the title of my message today is How to Stop the Devil's Darts. And I've written underneath it, Say the Will of God. And first of all, let's just look at the scripture here. This is in Ephesians chapter 6. It's a very familiar passage of scripture. And it says, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you've done everything to stand, stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, which can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Okay, go back to the previous slide. Great. The shield of faith, which can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Now, we live in a wicked world, and if you don't think so, just look at the news, just look at the evil that goes on in the world every day. One day, Jesus is coming back to stop all this mess, but for the time being, we live in a world that is ruled primarily by the prince of darkness, the devil, and he's our arch enemy, and he's got nothing good in store for you. And I'm not saying that to make anyone frightened, but I'm just saying that to say that is real. And, you know, wake up to the fact that we're not in heaven yet, guys. we are in a war zone, and the devil, he's got you in his telescopic sights. But there's a way to combat that, and here we have an example of a Roman soldier, probably with a big old shield, and someone's shooting flame arrows at him, and he's catching them in his shield. And the Bible's saying that we need to have this armor. We need to be armored up. You know, when you see these soldiers on the television or you watch the war movies, they're absolutely full of sort of, you know, bullet jackets that stop bullets and helmets and gun, you know, all the equipment. And as Christians, we need to have our armor on. And I'm just focusing on one piece here, and that's the shield of faith that can stop the darts of the devil. Now, the darts that I'm really thinking about is the thoughts that come into our heads that stick there. You know, that I don't really believe that the devil can come up and start fighting me. And, you know, if he could fight me, he'd probably run through the door now and start fighting me at the front of church, you know, to stop me from preaching. But he can't do that. What he can do is mess with my mind. And the devil is always trying to mess with our minds. And to live a successful Christian life, you've got to get a grip in your brain, in your mind. And if you're anything like me, and I'm sure you are, you just get flashes of things that come into your minds that you have to deal with. And I'll just tell you one, which is just a funny story. I was on an induction day. It was a two-day induction day. And during the induction day, the guy was just talking about skin cancer. And he was just talking about you get this little thing on your skin, and then but underneath is a huge cancer. And if they have to pull this thing off you, you know, they have to dig a hole out the side of your back as big as a tennis ball, you know, which didn't sound good at all. And then I had my induction, and then a few weeks later, I suddenly get this spot on my back, you know, and it's really itchy. And I try to ignore it, and I keep thinking about skin cancer, and about maybe it is one. You know what I mean? And maybe they're going to have to, dig a hole out of my, you know, dig this thing out of my back. So, to cut a long story short, I thought I better have a look at this thing. I couldn't see it because it was around my back. And I got my camera on my phone, and I was doing this, click, click. I had to take about 30 shots before I got two good ones to actually see what it was. And I looked at it and I thought, that's it looks like there's something in it. And so, a few weeks before, I'd been hacking down all these bushes to try and get a line of sight through for some engineering that I was doing, and I got some hawthorn, and it's like poisonous. And I must have just had a tiny little bit in my back anyway. To cut a long story short, I give it a good squeeze, it stopped itching. Praise God, it's over. However, the thought of cancer, the thought of, oh dear, this is horrible. And yesterday I was just driving some friends of mine friends of mum and dad's really to the airport. And they told me that their son, who's my age, who was a good friend of mine, has got like arthritis in his back. And I thought to myself, oh, arthritis in your back. I thought, I have a few back pains occasionally. You know, and immediately start thinking, well, maybe I got arthritis in my back. And the devil throws that's what I'm talking about, these fiery darts. Occasionally, I suddenly have a vision of like a car accident. Now, you might think I need mental help or something here. Maybe I do, I don't know. But you suddenly see a flashing of an accident. You think, man, you know, I mean, if you think about driving cars, it's an awfully dangerous thing that we do, isn't it? And we all do it, and we jump in our cars, and we go roaring off, and there's big old roundabouts where I'm working, and you slip out there in front of the cars, and you think, wow, what if it hit me, you know? And this is the antidote. I need to start preaching now because I see I've got everyone frightened. So I need to start preaching. The thing is, we need to combat it with Scripture. When Jesus is in the wilderness and the devil came to him and he tempted him, there's a very famous verse in Matthew chapter 4 and in Luke chapter 4 which says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord." And if you know that story, the devil came to tempt Jesus in the wilderness, and he gave Jesus three different temptations, and on each of those temptations, he reacted by, I'm assuming, speaking out loud a scripture. And he counteracted the devil's lies and the devil's fiery dart by actually speaking out a scripture. And that's what I really want to do, is just talk about the devil's real... The devil wants to put fear in our hearts, and when that fear germinates, it has awful consequences. You know, if you leave a fiery dart in you, it's going to catch you on fire, isn't it? You know, if you let it carry on, if the thought just goes from a thought and you become obsessed with it, it's going to really destroy you, and you've got to get these things out of you right at the very beginning and not let it turn into something absolutely massive. And one of the verses is a familiar verse, and this is in Job chapter 3 and verse 25 says this. Job says, "What I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me." And the book of Job is a great book, and there's lots of theological things that you can get out of the book of Job. But one of the things I can see from the life of Job is that he allowed fear to get into his life. It was the fear of losing his family, a fear of his children having sins. And that fear tore down a hedge of protection that God had around him. And as a result, the devil got access to him. And as a result, the devil wrought great destruction in his life. Hallelujah, it had a happy ending in the end. The thing got sorted out. God gave Job a new family, and Job lived many, many more years. And many people think that the book of Job was only over about a nine-month period. But nevertheless, the entry point was fear. In the Garden of Eden, the first thing that happened after Adam and Eve had sinned is they hid themselves from God, and when God found them in the Garden of Eden, they said, "We're afraid." And one of the things you need to deal with in this life effectively is fear. Now, I'm an engineer, and I deal with, I'm the guy that tells everyone where the buildings have got to go, how deep the drainage has got to go. And my mistakes, if I make them, are not very easily erased. You know, I had a situation once a few years ago when I had a phone call and someone told me I'd put a building 180 degrees round the wrong way. Now, some fear hits you at that point because I was going to pay the bill for putting it round the right way again. And on last week, the former suddenly phoned up me and said that the you know water runs downhill. That's obvious, but in drainage, it's a big thing you need to remember. And so the thing going into the drain needs to be higher than the thing going out of the drain. Otherwise, you've got a major problem. It's called a backfall, and it's not cool, all right? And you don't want that in your drains. So anyway, the former phoned me up and said, "We've just done the drill shot. We've got a backfall. Get yourself over here." And, you know, immediately fear hits me because I'm actually, the guy that I'm working for will be liable for my mistakes. And I don't want him to get a bill for tens of thousands of pounds to repair the damage that I caused by my negligence in my job. So I rush down that. But immediately I start saying, "Praise you." You know, I start turning. I put the shield of faith up. And I control the fear. Yeah, in the natural, you maybe want to just run around crying for my mum. You know, all the things you do when you get really frightened. But, you know, you're grown up. You can't do that. So you suck it in. You can try. And I go, "Lord, thank you, Lord. You know, thank you, Lord." You know, one of my favorite scriptures in Psalm 91, and I love Psalm 91. Psalm 91 is just packed with great scriptures that we can use against the devil. And one of them is in Psalm 91:10, particularly that one about road accidents. It actually says in Psalm 91:10 that no accident will come near you. And I often quote that scripture before I go on a long journey. If I have any imaginations of something going wrong, I just thank you, Lord, that no accident, no evil will befall me. You know, no accident will come near you. And I use that to bring myself back to a place of peace. So I'm not driving along thinking, oh man, when's that big lorry going to hit me? Immediately you're trying to... The Bible actually says that we need to... One of the things we need to work out hard is to labor to enter in to his rest. All right? It's not okay to be worried all the time. It's not okay to have no peace. It's, all of these things are awful for you spiritually, but even medically. You need to be in a place of peace, and that should be your default state. You know, Jesus is the Lord of my life. I hope he's the Lord of your life. My sins are under the blood of Jesus. I'm a new creation. I believe I'm going to go to heaven when I die. And I need to live in a place of tranquility, in a place of peace. And you should be able to get to that. We're taking communion in a minute. And this is a great opportunity to realize that your sins are under the blood of Jesus. That I can stand before you as though I'd never sinned, as though I'd never blown it. I appreciate what John was saying about forgiveness. You know, that's something that you don't want to have in you. You need to release people. You need to let the past go. You need to forgive yourself from the past. And so that there's nothing tormenting you. And then when a fiery dart does suddenly land, whoa, you suddenly know it's there. It's not like you've got a fire raging all around you in your soul. You're at peace. And so when something suddenly comes through and suddenly disturbs your peace, you can immediately center on it, identify it, and deal with it. Another scripture on that line is Proverbs 10, verse 24. Says this. That's right, cool. It says, what the wicked dreads will overtake him, what the righteous desire will be granted. Dread is a form of fear. That's a good word, dread, isn't it? Dread is just like, you just have to almost think to yourself, well, what is it that's upset me? I mean, David says it in the Psalms, you know, why are you so disturbed within me, O my soul? And if you notice, David a lot of times is dealing with his soul in the Bible. You know, you can see David's taking himself out and giving himself a motivational speech and, you know, get it together, David. And we need to do that as Christians. And we don't do it in ourselves. This isn't self-help. This isn't me looking in the mirror every day and going, Craig, you're a tiger. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. This is God's power. This is God's peace. This is God's life. This is God's love that is in me, that is helping me. The pipe. Okay, the pipe story. Thank you, Mum, for reminding me. I always get halfway through the stories and move on to something else. Well, the pipe was, it wasn't my fault, which is great. And the guy had completely ignored the flag that I'd written with a depth down, and he was half a meter out, and so I pointed that out to him, and that was always good to make, you know, blame shift. Nothing to do with me, my friend. And, I'm sorry, but if you'd followed my marks, you wouldn't have this problem. But then I just prayed that the Lord would help us sort it out, because nevertheless, it was still a problem. And we did some things, and we got the backfall at the moment is at 100 millimeters, 10 centimeters, and we will overcome that one. We might have to dig out the manhole a little bit and play around with it, but we will overcome. So praise the Lord, and the Lord helped, because in those situations everyone's blaming everyone else. You know, when it's someone's mistake, it's everyone's pointing fingers at everyone else, and the blame is like hopping around the room trying to jump on someone. So the Lord helped, the Lord brought peace. You know, Revelation 12, so that's another scripture about dreading. Dreading isn't good. The Bible says that what we fear will come upon us. Faith is like a rope. You know, what we believe for, we believe as we believe for it, we're pulling it towards us. But the other side of the story is true, that fear is also like a rope. And what Job says, what I greatly feared has come upon me. Fear is not okay, it's not good, it's not healthy. Revelation 12, verse 11 says this. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. That's and the word of our testimony is speaking out what we believe, speaking out what we say is going to happen, you know. I often say another verse from Psalm 91, which says, with long life he will satisfy me and show me his salvation. You know, so when I hear stories on the news of people my age dying of horrible things and people caught up in accidents and stuff like that, I often quote that to myself, that with long life, he will satisfy me. I don't believe I'm going to die in an old people's home with no brains left, just like some vegetable, some cabbage, because I believe that God hasn't given me a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And it's no joke losing your mind. I've got an uncle who's in hospital, who's been in hospital for years and doesn't even know who he is because of Alzheimer's. And I'm very, anytime, you know, it's no, you don't start saying, ha ha, I'm getting old, I'm losing my mind, I'm beginning to forget things. It's not a joke, you know. When symptoms come on us, we need to resist them. And that, we do that by speaking out loud. Now, you don't have to be weird. We don't do it when people around you don't know what on earth you're saying or doing, all right? You know, but we can do this under our breath. We resist it. The Bible says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. And one of the best ways to do that is what I'm telling you to do, is to actually say, by his stripes I'm healed. No evil will befall me, no plague will come near me. Another quotation from Psalm 91. You actually taking that thought, and you're doing this with it, which is in this, my next verse, which is in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, and verse, I've written it down right, hang on, verse 4, is it 4, go up, 2 Corinthians 4, 4, please, I think, where's that verse that says we take captive every thought and make it subject to the will of God? Is it 10, chapter 10, isn't it? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, sorry about that. Let's get this verse. So it's 2 Corinthians, rather than chapter 4, it's chapter 10. Chapter 10 and verse 4, yeah. So is that easy to get? There we go. Right, here we go, yeah. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of this world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Let's just stay on that verse at the moment. God's word is powerful. God's word is a double-edged sword. It divides soul and spirit, joints and marrow. You know, God's word is not like Shakespeare or anything else. There's something supernaturally powerful against God's word. And God's word in your mouth will stop the devil. And God's word in your mouth is the strongest thing that can possibly, it says things, it affects things. And we need to be people that know the word of God, consequently reading the Bible plans that Dad makes. I always endeavor to read one chapter of the Bible every day. And then I listen to lots of preachers and bits and pieces, but I don't feel right. I almost feel like I haven't cleaned my teeth. I mean, you know, if you haven't cleaned your teeth, you sort of feel like, hey, I haven't cleaned my teeth. You feel sort of funky, don't you? Because you haven't cleaned your teeth, you know? Because when I got married, my wife made me start cleaning my teeth in the morning. I never used to do that before then. But now, if I don't clean my teeth in the morning, I feel like, hey, I haven't cleaned my teeth. You know, this is something wrong. But I also feel like that if I haven't read my chapter of the Bible, because And we need that. That God speaks to us through that. That's important. It's important to know the Word of God. This is your weapon. This is not this piece of paper, but the Word of God. I didn't even bring my Bible, but the Word of God is your weapon. You know, it's the sword of God, and that is what is gonna put the devil. You know, you stick it in him. You've got to stick that in him when he comes at you. So the next verse says, "We demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought and make it obedient to Christ." So what I'm talking about here is taking thoughts captive and not letting them run rampant and raging around your mind and filling you full of fear. It's okay to ask people to pray for you. It's okay to say, look, I'm struggling here, could you help me? But it's not okay just to go around constantly and just tell everybody about all the fears that you're having. Do you know what I mean? And all your worries. And, you know, and by the time you've told 13 people about what you're frightened about, you're going to be 20 times worse than you was when you started. You need to take it captive. You need to confess the Word of God over it. Now, here's a couple of, I'm going to give you some of my favorite scriptures now. My messages always end on a list of my favorite scriptures. So here's a great scripture in Psalm 103. Let's have a look at that one. And particularly for new people, and these are good, these are going to help you here. Psalm 103 starts out with, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name, who forgives all of your sins, who heals all of your diseases." What does the next bit go? There it is. Okay. So, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all my innermost being, praise his holy name." And David is giving himself an emotional talk. It's not okay just to walk around blue and depressed and horrible and making everyone else feel bad. You got to get yourself by the neck and you got to straighten out. I mean, this isn't fun when it's raining. You know, it isn't fun Monday morning when you got to get up. Life, there's a lot of life that isn't fun, but you've got God in you and you're a winner and you need to lift yourself up. And we can do that. I feel sorry for the world that hasn't got what I've got. People who don't know my Jesus, who don't know the power of God. And I've been living this way ever since I was a teenager. And I'm 48 this year. So I've got... And do you know one of the things I confess? This is a good one. That every hair on my head is numbered and I'm believing God for every one of them. Now, either that's worked better, or either I've got the genes, the right genes to have hair on my head, or maybe it's just because I've been confessing that more than Daniel has. So he's not here today, so we can give him some stick, right? But he's doing a great job at this church, and I love Daniel and Tanya. They're doing an excellent job. Even though he's my younger brother, and I used to beat him up terribly when he was little. Nowadays, I wouldn't want to mess with him. He's got bigger shoulders than I have. I wouldn't want to mess with Daniel. Maybe one day we should just have it out again in the garden and just see who's the strongest. I don't know. I don't think I'm going to win, though. Psalm 103. So praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases. You know, don't walk around with the weight of sin on your back. You are the righteousness of God in Christ. The blood of Jesus has covered your sins. And if there's stuff that you did crazy in the past, and you need to forgive people, you need to forgive yourself, but you should be walking in newness of life. And if you don't have that experience, you need to get talk to people. You need to get through to the fact that you are not tormented by your past. The blood of Jesus has cleansed us. The guy that wrote a lot of the New Testament was a guy called Paul. He was probably responsible for the deaths of over 1,000 Christians. He had plenty to be depressed about. He had plenty of baggage. But he wrote those scriptures that I am a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. And he had every reason when he became a Christian to just be almost go and kill himself. You know, he had enough baggage to when he came to his senses and realized what he'd done, he could have just been a mess for the rest of his life. But he realized that what Jesus had done on the cross had cleansed him of his past mistakes, and he went on and wrote two-thirds of the New Testament and went through unimaginable difficulties because he recognized what Jesus had done for him on the cross. It says here, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Now that's a great scripture, that my youth is renewed like the eagles. And when I get pains and aches, and you know, I'm just, thank you, Lord, that my youth is renewed like the eagles. If I wake up in the morning and my shoulder doesn't, it's got a bit of a pain there, I just start speaking to it and saying, by his stripes I'm healed, and hallelujah, and arm you work well in the name of Jesus. We need to get vocal, folks. We need to be people that don't just sit there and allow the devil just to shoot one dart in after the next dart after the next dart. You've got to, you combat it, you fight it. Yeah, we are going to get, we get older. We get weaker as we get older, that's true. But you don't have to take it sitting down. You resist it. You stand against it. And you say what I said in my title. You say the will of God. God's word is his will. When you see things like this on the board, on the thing, you're saying, this is what God wants. Now, I may not be exactly there at the moment, but I am going to speak God's will. I'm going to speak what he wants. I'm going to say it like I want it to be. Now, that is faith. What I'm talking about is faith. You are calling those things that be not as though they are. You are speaking what you want. Finances. We all put some money in the offering. Hallelujah. You know, I put money in the offering, and often if I'm with my wife, she will go to me, what are we believing for? What's this seed going to produce? And but I'm constantly saying, God shall supply. My God will supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory, you know? And God has. I mean, praise God. God does supply and will supply abundantly. One of the things I would just say is, I won't say that. Forget it. I won't say that. No, I don't want to get off that. I'm looking at the time. I'm looking at the time. Let me just look at one more verse. This is an important verse, all right? Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 33. Now, when it comes to protection, a lot of protection is as a result of listening to the voice of God. You just can't run anywhere you want to with the principles of faith and do whatever you want to. You need to obey God's voice. Where he speaks is protection. But whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. And I'll just finish this part on this story. Claire Urquhart was a friend of mine who I went to school with. And years ago, when we were teenagers, we lived in Sussex, and they went up on the train or somewhere to London, and Claire was with I don't know who she was with, but she was with someone else, and they were just going shopping in London. And she was going to go to Harrods, and Harrods is always cool, isn't it, to go to Harrods and look around and the shop. And I think they wanted to go to Harrods, but something in her heart said, don't go to Harrods. And they didn't go to Harrods, and a bomb went off in Harrods. This is when the IRA were letting bombs off in the 80s. So a lot of, you know, when the Holy Spirit says to you, slow down, slow down. When the Holy Spirit says to you, don't take your car out in the ice and the rain, you know, don't do an unnecessary journey. You know, we just can't. I've learned this, you know, when I was younger, I just used to think, well, I used to do a lot of rock climbing. I used to think, hey, if I fall off, the angels will catch me. I don't believe that anymore, you know. I'm careful. I listen to God's voice. And that scripture there says, but whoever listens to me will live in safety and be at ease without fear of harm. God can protect you all the way into old age. God can keep you healthy all the way into old age. If there's parts of your body that are not functioning properly, God can bring health and life back into those parts of your body. If there's relationships that are not functioning well, that God can bring his life and his power and his forgiveness. But the devil will always paint you this worst scenario picture. He always paints you this picture of utter destruction and chaos. And if you listen to him and if you think about what he's saying and if you say what he's telling you to say, it'll go that way. It'll go towards the destruction side. But if you start speaking the life and the love and the peace of God into the situation, it will be dramatically different. And a lot of these things I'm saying is not just an instant fix. Just come out the front, I'm going to lay hands on you and your life is going to be wonderful. I don't really believe that, to be honest. I believe in healing, I believe in the laying on of hands. But a lot of living a long life and having a good life is a consistency of confession, a consistency of saying and of resisting the devil and of speaking good things over yourself and not allowing a load of rubbish and unbelief and fear to come out of your mouth. Now, all of this is possible because of the body and the blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hung on a cross for us. John was talking about forgiveness. One of the reasons we can forgive is because he forgave us. One of the strongest things I think about forgiveness is that when Jesus hung on that cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." Now, if Jesus could forgive people when they just nailed him up to a cross, you can forgive your neighbor for parking his car outside your house, or you know, you can forgive the person who doesn't look at you right at work. You know, we can get over our little unforgivenesses because of what Jesus did on the cross. And and you know, when I take the communion, sometimes I think of the body of Jesus. So, you know, when I look at the bread, it's his body that was broken for us. I think about by his stripes I was healed. You know, Jesus was in a real mess when he got to the cross because they had actually whipped him and put a crown of thorns on his back. But his mashed up body is my healing. And a great time to make a confession over yourself to say, "I'm well and I'm whole and I'm strong and this or that ailment is going to get better," is when you're taking communion. And then the other thing is this: if you have condemnation and you feel that God doesn't love you and you're not getting free from your sins and you think this thing, you don't feel clean, it's that blood of Jesus that washes away our sins.